Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. We give God all the glory and praise for another wonderful time in His presence. Our God is good all the time. And all the time, our God is good. Okay, so let's move straight to Luke chapter 10. My prayer this morning is as we look into God's word, the entrance of His word will give us light and understanding in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so the first thing I want us to see from Luke chapter 10, that's between verse 1 and verse 12, is how that Jesus Christ sent the 70s out. You know, He sent them out in twos. He said in verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before His face into every city and place where He Himself was about to go. And He said, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. And the very important thing I want us to pick from this incident is that Jesus actually sent them out in twos. And we see that in the Old Testament, when God called His people, He usually would call them one person after the other. It was first Adam, and then we had Abel, and then we had Enoch, and then we had Abraham, then we had Moses, we had Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah. You know, all these guys functioned in their places as a single prophet of God. But then we see that in the New Testament is a bit different. Starting with this, you know, in Luke chapter 10, Jesus sent them out in twos. And then we had Paul and Silas. Then we had Paul and Barnabas. We had Barnabas and Mark. Then Silas and Timothy. So we see that in the New Testament, there is this way people were called. They were actually called in twos. And my encouragement is, whatever it is you're starting, it is actually okay to start alongside someone. Because there is something you'll be able to do that the other person cannot do. And there are things that you cannot do that the other person will be able to do. And we see a perfect example of this in the rebuilding of the temple of God in the book of Ezra. You know, we see the place of two people working together to build God's temple. So God chose Joshua and Zerubbabel. So Joshua was standing there as a priest, while Zerubbabel was standing there as an administrator. So we need the help of one another in building the body of Christ. You cannot build the body of Christ all by yourself. This is why we need to embrace the gifts of others. If you see someone doing, I said it yesterday in yesterday's podcast, if you see someone doing excellently well, you know, in the furthering of the gospel of Jesus Christ, support the person. Don't envy others. As a matter of fact, in the New Testament, God has called us to work together as one. First, pastors, prophets, evangelists, apostles, and teachers. We all are supposed to work together as one in the building of the body of Christ. So celebrate the gift of others. Celebrate the offices of others, because then we are all working together as one to build the body of Christ. So in the New Testament, it is not you alone. You cannot come up and say, I am the only person God is calling. In Pastor E. Adeboye's church, for instance, I am pretty sure that he will be able to handle the past aspect of maybe being the pastor of the church. But there are other people that are standing in different offices in building that church. So we need to celebrate our gifts. Celebrate the gift of everyone that God has brought, you know, around you. And I pray that the Lord God Almighty will give us the grace to do this in Jesus' name. From verse 13 to verse 16, we see that Jesus Christ was talking about the cities that he was expecting more from those cities. And He mentioned something about the fact that He says, woe to Chorazin, woe to Bethsaida, woe to these guys. You know why Jesus was saying this? He said, because they had more access to the gospel, but they were living a life that was below par the kind of access they had. I mean, they had access to Jesus, access to signs and wonders, miracles, but the life they were living was far below the life that people that didn't even have the access were living. And the simple lesson we can learn from this is, see, if you have access to God, access to the gospel, access to conferences, different meetings, it is a bigger call to walk in the ways of Jesus. So if you are not walking in that path of Christ, you are not living your life as you should as a believer, but you are going to different meetings. You know what the Bible says? To whom much is given, much is expected. So if you are asking God for power, you are asking God for more anointing, yeah, you will receive that anointing. But that anointing is not for you to begin to live a life of a show-off, trying to let people see that you have anointing. That is not the purpose. The purpose of the anointing is so that character can be formed in you, so that you can begin to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. So to whom much is given, much more is expected. Is it not so shameful that in your workplace or in your school, you are the one who has the most access to God, but your life is far away compared to the life of those that are not even believers? You know, they are looking for people with character, and they are pointing to believers, and then pointing to unbelievers. And there you are, a child of God who attends all meetings, who reads the Bible in the morning, prays in the morning and night, do his morning devotion, but yet your character is not in tandem with the access you have to all of these things. You know, it is just like this, you know, these cities, they have access to God, but they are living a life that is below par. The encouragement to you this morning is, if God has given you so much, then you have to show it by the kind of life that you live. I pray God will help us to do this in Jesus' name. Then we see the parable of the Good Samaritan. If there is anything I want you to put in your mind today, it is what I'm about to talk about. We are very familiar with this parable. You know, there was a particular man that was traveling. He was beaten up by robbers. He was brutally, you know, injured. And then we see a priest actually going to pray. He saw this man injured on the floor. He walked past the man. He didn't help the man. Then we saw another person, a Levite, walking down to worship. And then he saw this man that has been bruised, wounded, you know, battered on the floor. He walked past the man. He didn't help him. And then we saw a Samaritan. In those days, Samaritans were people that they didn't even reckon. They didn't reckon them as children of Abraham. They saw them as half-breed. So this guy was not even someone who had the gospel 100%. This is someone who was not even recognized to be 100% believer. He saw the man, took him up, and helped him. And the encouragement to us this morning is, what are you doing to your brothers beside you? There are times, you know, when I was studying this thing, one example that came to my spirit is, for instance, your mother is sick, your dad is sick, and then you left your sick mom. You actually, when you could have helped her, you left that person at home to go for conferences, to go for meetings. How bad can that be? You know, you see someone in need, but you took the money in your hands and say, no, this money is actually for God. I'm not going to give this money to help the person. Whereas that person is dying in need, hungry. He needs the money, but you are keeping the money, saying, no, that money is for God. Do you know what the Bible says? If you can do this thing to your neighbor, you have done it to God. The easiest way to give to God is to give to the poor person around you. You don't need to start giving money to people you don't see. What about the person beside you? What about your roommate? How about your friend? How about your classmate? How about your colleague at work? Before you start giving money to different you know, foundations, orphanage homes. Some of you will, at the end of the year, gather your money, buy stuff for orphanages. But then, your roommate needs money, but you can't give it to your roommate. Do you know what the Bible calls your neighbor? The person beside you, the person around you, the person in your church, the person that is sitting beside you. That is your neighbor. What are you doing to help that person? It is very wrong for you to be a believer and you have that money, you have that thing to help the person. It might not be money sometimes. It might be just teaching someone something that you already know. You know that course. You understand that course. You know it more than everyone in the class. The person comes to meet you. Could you please explain this thing to me? But you wouldn't give it out because you don't want the person to pass more than you. That is devilish. That is not the attitude of a child of God. Learn to give that thing out. That is your brother. Help the person. Make it inconvenient for you to help others. If the moment you can make it inconvenient to help others, it is inconvenient for you, but you are helping others by doing that, then you are going to get the reward. You know what David said? He said, I will not give to God what will not cost me. Let it cost your time. Let it cost your money. Let it cost your energy. But do everything you can to be of help to others. May God help us to do this in Jesus' name. And then finally, we see the common story of Mary and Martha, how that Jesus came visiting. The Martha was so busy trying to cook, trying to make Jesus comfortable. But Mary was there sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to Jesus. You see, and the simple lesson from there is what you already know, is that don't be too engrossed with activities. Sit and learn at the feet of Jesus. And my encouragement is also to those of you that are always walking in church, majorly outside the auditorium. So when the pastor is preaching, you're busy at the garage trying to arrange the cars, or you're busy doing the video coverage, or you're busy taking the pictures, or you're busy with the teens church, you're busy with the children's church. If you are part of those people, please have that desire to want to hear God's word. At the end of the service, go and meet the media team. Collect the message for that meeting. Go back home, sit down, listen to it. Some of you are happy about the fact that you're always working in the technical unit, and then so you don't have the opportunity to hear God's word. That makes you happy already. You are not ready for your work with God. In fact, for me, I don't even think you're a believer yet, because the word of God is something that should give you joy. That is something that should make you excited. Not that every Sunday when you're going to church, you're excited about the fact that you're not going to sit in church to listen to God's word, because then you're going to be in children's church, or you're going to be behind the camera, or you'll be in the media unit displaying the verses the pastor would say. And then you're missing out. Every Sunday, if you know that you don't have the opportunity to sit down to hear God's word, at the end of the service, go to the media unit, collect the message, go back home, sit down, digest it. That is how to behave as Mary, not as Martha, busy doing activities. Activities for God is not wrong, but then you don't do activities for God at the expense of your soul. It is not that you are doing activities and then you are not listening to God's word. Don't do activities at the expense of your growth, your spiritual growth. I pray the Lord God Almighty will give us understanding, will help us to see these things in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you very much for joining today's podcast. I celebrate you. I appreciate you. God bless you. I'll see you again tomorrow. Bye for now.